It is Geelong's favourite community radio station, 94.7 The Pulse. That's where you are. We'll be here till 11 o'clock talking about stuff, sport after 10 o'clock with Nick Speak from the Geelong Cricket Club. But on the line now, our resident LGBTQI information source, if you like, Bronte Price. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Rob Cameron. Happy New Year. Welcome.
Yes, it is another year we get into, and hopefully we'll hear a lot more from you during this year talking about these important issues. And I was just saying at the start of the show when talking about you coming on, there's a lot of conversation still around the transgender issue in community about, you know, just simple things of toilet facilities, change room facilities, sport, and there's a lot of excitement and almost hysteria in some quarters, and of course the rather strange view about these people have just appeared out of nowhere. But the reality is, as you and I have had many conversations in the past, and your own life experience, it's about having the confidence to step out of the shadows. And I guess these people who have been so suppressed for so long now feel it is time to come out and be loud and proud about who they are.
That's it. And it's, you know, people who are LGBTIQ+, including trans people, have been around forever. And for many of them, it's been a really hard road to travel. And so for many of them, it's difficult to, for example, just even have that first social outing as a person who is transitioning or who has transitioned. And so, you know, they need, and now they've got available, really good support networks. We're starting to understand, I think, and we're starting to evolve the language more clearly about what it means to be trans, or what it means to be intersex, or what it means to be gender fluid. And I think that's part of the conversation now, because there are people out there who have blazed that trail, and very bravely, and often at great personal cost to themselves, so that others who follow them can live their lives safely and authentically in, you know, being who they are in their own skin. That's not always been available to them. And so now, as we get more and more people supporting the fact that people from the LGBTIQ plus community deserve the same equal rights as everyone else in the general community, then, you know, we're having not just people from that community speak up, but we're having lots of people who are straight allies speak up and say, you know, this just isn't right, this isn't fair, and stuff's got to change.
Based on that, people from outside of the community being advocates for change, we've had now 8 months of a new federal government, and now while they've had issues of other importance that they've been focusing on, but have you sensed as part of that community that within the federal government, there is a change of attitude and maybe a more positive and progressive view about these changes that need to happen?
Yeah, sure. I think there's still, there are several states now that have got commissioners for LGBTIQ plus communities, including Victoria. There's still a need, lots of us think, for a commissioner at federal level, just like they have for other parts of, you know, of social justice. So there's that sort of feeling, but there's also a feeling of being kind of more comfortable, I think, with this government, who seems to understand, you know, and historically has too, the need for people to be given a fair go and to be given a hand up. And so on, rather than just assume that everyone starts from the same starting point, because we all know that's just not the case. So there's a feeling, I think, across the queer community that this government is on the right path, and there's always work to be done, right? But at least they they're not pushing back against some of the advances that have been made in the past.
There is an expectation of governments to do some social change, but one thing I'm finding observing, admittedly I'm a 65-year-old man, I don't profess to know everything that's happening in the community that involves teenagers, a generation or two away, but I sense that inside teenage communities, the acceptance of someone coming out, if you like, is far, far better, more comfortable than it was, of course, in your own experience where you were effectively forced to live a lie for 40-odd years.
Incredible. The you know, I conducted a wedding yesterday for a couple of teachers from Canberra who came to Melbourne, and they told me about the work that they and other staff members are doing at their school, and it's just really quite incredible. We know that progressive, contemporary, even state schools here in Victoria have, some of them have got groups that are support groups, openly supportive of LGBTIQ plus students, and they get those students to, if they want to, stand up and tell some of their stories and some of their struggles. You know, we get this sense that people who are now teenagers, when someone tells them that their new pronouns are whatever, they just say, well done, good, let's refer to that. And they'll get together little friendship groups and practice the new pronouns, for example, so that they just want to do the right thing and not mess up too many times. There's this sense that, you know, of course, boys can have boyfriends and girls can have girlfriends. Like, where's the next biscuit? Can I have a biscuit now, please? I understand that.
Yeah, it's changing, and I know a lot of social change is going to come from our young people almost forcing the change, whereas the older generations, particularly around my vintage, that still, for some strange reason, can't comprehend this world outside their own little world, but the force will come from below, and I'm really encouraged by a lot of positivity amongst teenagers around, just simply around acceptance, Bronte.
Oh, and I think it goes a bit more than acceptance. They're fundamentally embracing people who are trans or intersex or gender fluid, and they just think, well, what's wrong with you people who can't understand that these are just people who are trying to be their authentic selves? And of course, they're part of that social network that people from the LGBTIQ plus community now have and value. We've got to also accept, though, that there are some kids who are transitioning who still find it very difficult to take that first step or second step, and some will take some time off school and do their transition, undergo their transition with full parental help and with the help of, you know, institutions that have been set up to support them, and then return to school having transitioned. So, and sometimes it means a change of school, sometimes it means staying at the same school. But we're hearing lots of really good stories about, as you say, just the acceptance and ultimate embracement by younger people, of all people from across the, you know, the whole range of the LGBTIQ plus community.
Bronte, one thing I've noticed doing the social media as I do, and I see it holding back development in this country, because I think Australians generally are far more progressive than other parts of the world. But because we get the internet bringing in views from other parts of the world, particularly coming out of America at the moment, there was the hard right religious fraternity of the Republican Party, and other sections of community are still so locked into the past around this particular issue. We're getting that feed coming across constantly to Australia. Do you think that American staid, old-fashioned views on life are causing concerns with Australia's natural progressive thought process?
I think it comes in waves a bit. I know that when there was debate around both the right to abortion in America and it's been extended to the possibility of overturning marriage equality in America. It sent shudders down lots of our backs because it was, we were thinking, so if this is possible there, is it possible here as well? And we know that, you know, back in the day, the ACT allowed LGBTIQ plus weddings, so marriage equality, and it got overturned by the federal government because marriage is regulated by the at federal level rather than state or territory level. But just in the last week or so in the UK, it's not just America, but in the UK, the Church of England has, after 6 years of debate, has voted to refuse marriage equality within the church. And so what they're proposing is that they will, they can have their union blessed, a civil ceremony blessed in the church, but you can't have an LGBTIQ plus wedding in the church. So it's still this, after all that time, 6 years, it's still problematic. And we talked earlier about young people being the force of change. It's certainly generational. It'll take several more generations for this thing to occur much broadly. You know, we've still only got 33 countries that have got marriage equality. And in over 30 countries out of the British Commonwealth, there, you know, that number of countries still criminalises homosexuality. We've still got lots of work to go right across the globe, I think.
Yeah, I know you're looking at it globally, but I want you to focus a little more just at home, in this country, in the world that you live in. Are we operating on, well, it's not acceptable necessarily, but a tolerable two steps forward, one step back, and know that based on that mathematical equation, we're always going to be getting better?
Yeah, I don't see us going backwards here. I think that sometimes it is two forward and one back, or, you know, variations on that theme. But I think the fact that we've now put in place, or the governments have now put in place, some funding, for example, for a Victorian Pride Centre, we've now got an LGBTIQ plus communities commissioner. Like, these things are not just easily wound back. And I think that the head of steam that is now there, as I alluded to earlier, in terms of public policy change and legislative change and regulatory change, I think that when you add that to the growing number of straight allies that now support the LGBTIQ plus community, I think that we're not going to recede and go back, or revert and go back anytime soon here.
No, and I think it's a good example, and I talk, and I'm sure I have your permission to do it, but I talk about you a lot in the social situation, your circumstance of your life. I won't go into absolute detail, but you just go back to think that when you were a married man in a heterosexual relationship with children, to think it's a relatively short period of time that now you're legally living the life, a comfortable life as a gay man, but also marrying other gay couples. Did you really, in your own mind, foresee this in just this short period of time in your own life?
Never, ever, ever. And I marry, you know, as a kid, you never had the role models. You would see men on television, you know, shows or whatever, in magazines that you were attracted to, and you thought, that's really different, because it's different from, I wasn't attracted to women in that sense. And so to think, if someone had told me, even as an 18-year-old kid, that I would end up one day marrying the person I love, and that person is a man, I would have said, you know, you've got rocks in your head. And if you have a think back to how, if someone had said that we would have things like legislative change, making that possible, that we would have structures like, you know, organisations such as Transgender Victoria and the commissioner that I keep referring to and the Victorian Pride Centre to represent and just thump our chest a bit to say how proud we are to be out and gay or lesbian or any other part of the acronym. That was just like literally unbelievable. So unbelievable that when we were kids, I guess, we switched off when we, in our heads, when we heard about this thing called marriage, because it was never going to happen to us in a, as a gay man. And that's why, you know, lots of us of my generation, we lived a straight life and we married a woman and we had kids and we, you know, lived in a three-bedroom brick house with a white picket fence. You know, it was that kind of pressure that was brought to bear on us that made us do that. It was unsafe to do anything else.
Bronte, sometimes I listen to people in this debate and I get really frustrated and angry with living so entrenched in the past. But then other times I stop and think that it's actually good to have both sides of the debate talked about, because my experience is telling me that it's almost as silly as the other side looks, it fast-tracks the change in other people's minds. Are you sort of sometimes, do you also bounce around between frustration and not so much joy, but at least understanding that when the counter-arguments are put forward and just fall to pieces so quickly because they're clearly not lacking, they don't have any logic to them. Do you think it's better to sometimes have the debate like that?
I think so. I think that we're getting better also at backing up our views with data and with stories. So stories are the things I think that change people's views, or even knowing someone who is trans or who is gay or lesbian is a really big change factor, because they think, wow, I never knew that, or, you know, and some people then will take it upon themselves to educate themselves about what that means and ask a million questions. But it's got to be safe for them to do that too. So if they're constantly met with just ridicule and disrespect, even no matter what their views are, then they'll just hold those views tighter and tighter, and possibly more and more vocally, because, you know, it's not safe for them to say those views. So, you know, I've got a point of view that debate is pretty healthy as long as it's safe for everyone and there's respect on both sides, I think.
Yeah, well, in my time following this issue, the progress, I think, has been phenomenal, actually. It might not be as quick as some would want, but it is quick, and the counter-arguments are falling away daily. So you and I may get to live in a life where it's truly equal to be anything other than perceived normal heterosexual. And I commend the work that people like you do and congratulate you personally on being a wonderful advocate for your cause. And we will continue to promote that on this station and have you on as a guest, and I'm happy to do that. So thanks again for your time this morning, Bronte.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat with you.
Really appreciate it. Bronte Price, he is our...